You're listening to the Matt Mercer Live Radio Network.
Matt Mercer Live. Imparting wisdom to the masses on a daily basis.
Matt Mercer Live.
Get ready, America.
It's time
for Matt Mercer Live. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, Jacksonville, North Florida, and realms beyond. Back in the saddle here at the hallowed jurisprudential bunker, the studios WOKV, News 104.5. I am attorney Matt Mercer, your host for the next half hour during your dinner time drive. And here on Matt Mercer Live, we're going to help you make sense out of the law. A couple of different topics we're going to go over tonight. We had a question on one of the shows earlier on condos and who's responsible if a pipe bursts. When you got a lot of different owners in a condo building and a pipe bursts and starts to flood, who might possibly be responsible? We'll cover that a little bit later. Also, bad builders. You know, we represent a lot of builders in Florida, subcontractors at my law firm. We help them get paid. We work with the good ones, but I want to tell you, there is a pandemic, not an epidemic, a pandemic of poor builders in Florida. The good ones know who they are. The bad ones may or may not realize how bad they are, but we do, because the property owners who are having problems or fights or disagreements with their builders come into our office at Mercer Law, and we help them solve their problems. Let me tell you what we're going to talk about tonight specifically, how to identify a bad builder. And what I mean by a bad builder, this is somebody, it's a company that you're under contract with to build a house or maybe a commercial building, and you've got a builder that is either not doing things according to the building code, maybe they are cutting corners, deviating from the plans, way behind on the schedule. It's getting worse, right? They abandon the job. They get way ahead in the draw schedule relative to the amount of work that's done. And then if you don't pay them more for work that's not yet done, they're going to lien you, they say, threaten to lien you, threaten to foreclose on your lot and the land and the buildings that they've been building or the house they've been building, et cetera. These are what we call bully builders. And Florida is ground zero, in my opinion, for these kind of builders. Why? We'll talk about that in a minute. We have some of the laws that are more pro-builder. We have some of the most pro-builder laws that I can find, and I've practiced law in three different states. But here, a lot of protections for the builder, relatively few protections for the owner, the one who is trying to have something built. Okay, what I want to talk about tonight, and again, don't be offended. If you're a good builder, this is not a knock on all builders. Get a thicker skin. We're talking about the bad ones here. So I want to help you identify some of the traits, some of the qualities, some of the symptoms that may indicate that the builder is maybe one you want to avoid. How do you know before you sign the contract with a general contractor, how do you know if you're dealing with a good one? Well, first of all, word of mouth recommendations, somebody that you know who has used them, who can tell you about their particular experience. That's an obvious one, right? That's a great way to go. But a lot of times you don't know. You're looking at the model home. You're looking at the new subdivision popping up, this, that, and the other. So let me give you a few of Matt's suggestions for what you can do. First of all, I want you to, and I'm going to give you a list here. Check the clerk of the court, your government clerk of the court office in the county in which both you live and the county in which the builder operates from. So let's say you live here in Jacksonville or St. John's County, right? And the builder, let's say, is out of Tampa. You want to check Hillsborough County's clerk of court. Check your own clerk of court. You can do that online, right? What are you looking for? You want to go through the website of the clerk of the court, look for the part where it talks about court filings or court dockets. And I want you to put in the first couple of words of that builder's name, do a search, and look on the court docket. This means lawsuits. Ooh, there we go. Let's find out how many times that builder has been sued in court. That could be a real, real good litmus. You really shouldn't find too many lawsuits at all against a builder if they're a good builder. Right. But if you all of a sudden pull them up and you see, gee whiz, in the last 18 months, they've been sued 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. The other interesting thing, you can actually request access to see the nature of that lawsuit. You can click a little button, put your email in, and then you can actually pull up what we call the complaint. Look at the lawsuit document. Was it related to construction defects? Right. How many lawsuits? Check their home county as well. If the builders across the state, look there. Look at the number of lawsuits on the clerk of court records. Now, be aware that many builders, many of the builders that we sue at my law firm, Mercer Law, love to hide the bad ones, love to hide behind arbitration clauses. They hide, they have in their contract that they present to you an arbitration clause so that if something goes wrong, when they skip out on the job or cut corners or build your house out of sequence, leaving you with all sorts of problems, and you want to go sue them in court, now you can't. You have to sue them in arbitration, which is a private process generally. The arbitration tribunal is not in the court. It is a separate private process where an arbitrator decides your case instead of a judge or a jury. Now, the bad builders love this because it keeps the case in the shadows. So my point with that is you may have some difficulty if you're trying to look at the number of lawsuits against the proposed builder that you're thinking about using. There may actually not be as many lawsuits of record that the builder has actually had to deal with through private arbitration. So be aware of that. Here's another little litmus. Don't just look for the lawsuits against the builder. Look where the builder is the plaintiff. Right? Because if the builder is the plaintiff, most of the time it's because the builder hasn't gotten paid by you or the customer, which can mean if you start seeing where that builder is engaged in a lot of its own collection actions against the property owner, that may mean the property owner is withholding payment on purpose because they're unhappy, because the work's defective. Now, of course, there can be other reasons. There can be legitimate reasons that the builder, the good builder, files suit because they haven't gotten paid. But these can be symptoms. If you see a lot of lawsuits for collections by that builder in a relatively short period of time, good litmus. Another little tip, check for the number. Go now, we talked about the clerk of court docket. There's another part of the clerk of court website I'm going to share with you. Write this down. It's the official records, or what we call the public records. You know what this is. This is where your deeds are recorded, where mortgages get recorded in the public records. It's separate from the court docket. Now, when you look there, search under the first couple of words of the builder company's name. I say just the first couple of words because if you try to put the exact name in, the full name, you may not have any hits because it may be typed or indexed differently. So just take the first couple of words. Look at the number of and the number of claims of lien in the public record. How many times did the builder in the county that you're wanting to build in, or in its home county if it's across the state, how many times did it do work, not get paid, and then put a claim of lien on somebody's house? Maybe it didn't result in a lawsuit, but to me, again, liens are very legitimate. Good builders use them all the time. We actually help with collections for builders, good ones, who aren't getting paid, as well as materialmen, subcontractors. So it's a legitimate tool for a builder to be using. But be aware, it can be, when you take it into context, if there are way too many of them in a short period, that can be another potential symptom. Now, I want to tell you something a little bit more subtle. A lot of builders, when they present you with their proposal, if they're more simple builders, they can be really, really talented in building, but sometimes they have very crude, sort of simple proposals, not a lot of legalese. Nothing wrong with that. You want to hire a builder that is got a good heart, conscientious, cares about doing a good job, cares about his or her reputation. But when you see a builder that has a very detailed contract, maybe 20 pages. I see some when I review contracts for homeowners who want to build a home, lot owners who want to build a home, et cetera. We sometimes need 30 pages, lots of legalese, terms and conditions, and all this stuff. Now, when you get to that point, it may be a good idea to have an attorney take a look at it for you and look for the things that are in there that may not be readily clear to you, could be a trap, could be a warning sign, Could be something that, wow, you know what? I can tell you as a trial attorney here in Florida, the reason I probably see that clause in that guy's proposal is because he has been sued so many times, his lawyer has finally persuaded him to modify his contract to put that protective language in there. Right there, as I say repeatedly on the show, and you know this to be true about me, there is no such thing as standard contract terms. Now, one that's more subtle that you may not see very, very clearly or very easily, if you're looking at this voluminous contract, be cautious if the builder has left out of its contract or its proposal, if it has all the other legalese and terms and conditions covered, but there's no attorney's fee clause in the builder's contract. Again, not dispositive that it's a bad builder. None of these things independently may be, but take a look at it. Here's why. A lot of builders who have been sued a lot, particularly some of the bigger builders, right? They learn that when they do defective work, and they get sued by you, they end up having to pay you your attorney's fees through the course of the litigation and the trial because their contract had an attorney's fee provision in it, allowing the prevailing party to recover fees. So what do some bad builders do? They will strike. They will remove very quietly from their proposal. They'll remove the attorney's fee clause. Now, how do they recover their fees? Well, that's very easy. See, the builders get to have their cake and eat it too, because when there is a lien action, when a builder has to enforce a lien, they get their fees under the statute, 713.29. So they can recover their fees when you don't pay. But if they don't have it in their contract and they completely screw up your house, they completely botch the work, you can sue them and recover money damages through arbitration if there's an arbitration clause. But your ability to get attorney's fees back for what you had to lay out to your attorney may not be an option. Now, there are some other theories you can sue under in the alternative, maybe a FDUPTA theory, Florida's Deceptive and Unfair Trade Practices Act statute theory, fraudulent lien, that type of thing. But it's tricky. It's tricky. So that's another factor. Let me suggest a couple of things. If you are looking to find a builder that, you know, meets the qualifications and criteria, make sure you have certain provisions stricken from the contract. Good builders probably won't mind, because good builders, they build the house, they build the building, they move on. What are some of the provisions that I hate to see for owners when you bring the contract in? First of all, I want to make sure that the contract provides very clearly what the performance timeline is. How long does the builder have to finish the work? A lot of times the builders will monkey with that wording. They'll either put a ridiculously long timeline in that's buried deep in the bowels of the contract that nobody really notices. They've told you verbally it'll be 6 months, but the contract says 18 months from after the permit is issued, and then they don't apply for the permit for 6 months. You can see how that timeline game, and you know, you're ready to move in 6 to 8 months. So there are those provisions. You've got other provisions. I'll tell you, I personally would love for us to have legislative reform. What we need in Florida, because we have so many people, and I get emails all the time, people who have been frustrated with the fact that they thought that the either the municipal or the county inspector was going to be protecting them or looking out with inspections to make sure things were done right. Didn't happen. Builders that took the money and then didn't finish the job, builders that built things wrong or not according to the building code, stucco was way too thin, builder won't come back. We have a pandemic, as I said. Now, what we need, and maybe some of you who are listening who are plugged into our legislature in Tallahassee, boy, I would love to meet with you. I'd love to meet with you. Boy, do I have some ideas how we could provide greater protection for consumers. Because, you know, for most of us, when you buy a house or build a house, rather, for most individuals, it's the single largest expenditure, right? It doesn't matter if you're buying a $250,000 house or a $450,000 house. To you, it's going to be a big expenditure. And yet, we don't have enough protection. Now, some of the ideas that I've got for legislative reform in this area here in Florida. I'm going to cover after the break. By the way, you can email me during the show or even during the week at WOKV@MercerFirm.com. That's WOKV@MercerFirm.com. Back in a few.
Broadcasting in a whole bunch of watts of radio power. You're listening to Matt Mercer Live. Matt Mercer Live.
Matt Mercer Live.
Listen a lot to learn a lot. You're listening to Matt Mercer Live with your host, Matt Mercer.
Welcome back to Matt Mercer Live. I'm attorney Matt Mercer from Mercer Law here in North Florida, rounding out the end of the month and what stunning weather we've had today here in Jacksonville. My goodness, the last couple of weeks, we've had just some incredibly beautiful days, and I'm just proud and privileged to be with you on your dinner time drive, helping you make sense out of the law. Again, email your legal questions to us at WOKV@MercerFirm.com. And, you know, write that down, because later in the week, you may have a question. You'll think, oh, yeah, I got to ask Mercer. WOKV@MercerFirm.com is the email address. Now, back to the bad builder and the legislature. Here's the quick list of legislative reform ideas, right, that I have that will help the consumers dealing with these very one-sided construction contracts that builders are, some builders are imposing on folks. And I see this a lot in my law practice when we have to go sue bad builders. We never have to sue the good builders, because you know something funny? Somebody builds a $300,000 house and nothing goes wrong with it, and the builder comes back and fixes any punch list items. I never hear about it. No surprise. First of all, any arbitration clause that's in a builder contract, I personally would strike that. If I'm negotiating the contract with a builder, I'd want to strike that. Because if I have to sue the builder for construction defects or bad work, I want to be able to go to court if I'm the consumer, not be stuck in private arbitration. The same thing with the waiver of jury trial clause. If that's in the contract, I personally think we need a legislative reform that provides a consumer bill of rights. If it's residential, now maybe not to protect on the commercial side, because you typically with commercial, you've got sophisticated developers or, you know, business owners who are building commercial. However, on the residential side, how about a bill of rights to protect them in residential construction? No arbitration clause should be enforceable. No waiver of jury trial should be enforceable. And, you know, that allows you, if you have to sue the builder, guess what? You don't want to be stuck in arbitration. Now, if you have a bench trial in front of a judge, you've got a much better shot than arbitration in many respects. But there's nothing quite like a jury of your peers, six lovely, wonderful people from the community, plus an alternate, sitting in a jury box, listening to your story, listening to the facts, listening to the evidence about the things that the builder did wrong and this, that, and the other, buried trash all over your lot or whatever they did, threw something at you, built your house upside down, whatever. So that's another thing that the legislature could codify to say that any construction contract, those provisions, if they're in there, they wouldn't be enforceable. Also, another one I see in my law practice a lot, frankly, is where the builder, let's say, is in Tampa. You're here in Jacksonville. And there's what we call a venue clause, which means if the builder screws up and you want to sue the builder, you can't just sue them here where the work was done. You have to go to their home court across the state in Miami, in Tampa, wherever they are. Venue should legislatively be required in a construction contract for residential. This is my opinion, right? This is from dealing with lots and lots and lots of wonderful clients and consumers over the years who have come into our office where we have had to sue and deal with bad builders and that type of thing. So another thing, the triple damages idea. Okay, right now we do have a little bit of protection in our statutes here in Florida. Now, I know a lot of people listen in South Georgia to this show. I get emails from you. I'm talking about Florida law here. We have a provision where if you build somebody a house and you don't have a license, guess what? You just built it for free. Builders that work without a license, or if their license is lapsed, we have a wonderful thing where they cannot enforce their right to get paid or their lien rights. But also, if they do stuff wrong, if they build the house incorrectly, then you, the owner, can sue them for three times, we call it treble damages, three times whatever it costs you to get it repaired. So they screw it up, you go hire a new builder to finish or fix, and now you can sue the unlicensed fellow for triple damages. Now, that's great. That's a wonderful public policy incentive to make sure the builders are licensed. But I think we should extend the protection for Florida consumers, residential now, where if you have a finding of fact by a jury or a judge that a builder willfully repudiated its duties, such as quit the job, willfully didn't perform, willfully breached, etc., then whatever the number is, the money is, the damages should be tripled. Now, here's my crazy theory on that. If you have great builders, and we do know many, many, many good, conscientious, hardworking, excellent quality builders here in Florida, the good ones aren't going to be concerned about that. It's just like the guy that's got a construction license is not going to be worried about a penalty of triple damages if he doesn't have a license because he's going to comply. But the bad builders who are drawn to this state like moths drawn to a light from many other states, ha-ha, let them be offended. Let them not like it, and maybe they'll go build somewhere else. We need reform there here in Florida. All right. By the way, we just settled a big case. We had a trial scheduled for this coming week starting on Monday at my firm, Mercer Law, a bench trial in front of a judge, and we were scheduled to end it this coming Friday. We just settled it literally yesterday, Friday. Yeah, we got ink yesterday. Great, great settlement, great result. Money for the client and injunctive relief. And I want to share with you sort of a little bit. This is an HOA case where we sued a homeowner association. We represent, as you guys know, if you listen to Matt Mercer Live here regularly, we represent the owner's side fighting with the condo board or the HOA board. And in many cases, the HOA boards do a great job, but sometimes they don't enforce restrictions. So you have people that are violating, like HOA members may be violating the rules and covenants in the declaration. And it's the job of the board of directors to enforce those restrictions. Well, what happens if they don't? This is where a lawsuit can be helpful. And we can enforce those restrictions seeking injunctive relief. That's making the court order them to play correctly and pay you your attorney's fees. Wonderful day. I said at the top of the hour, we had a question on another law show on the station about pipes bursting in a condo. Depends on where the pipes are. If the pipe bursts inside your condo unit, let's say it's your bathroom and it's on the inside, not on the outside wall, if it bursts, you may be liable for that if it floods, right? If somebody above you, similarly. But what happens if it's between the outside walls, between your unit and the next unit? Or perhaps there's a pipe in the ceiling above your unit. That may be the condo association's liability. For whoever had that question earlier, condo, because that's common area. I'm attorney Matt Mercer of Mercer Law. Check us out on the web, mercerfirm.com. We'll be back next week.
Matt Mercer Live, helping you get even smarter.